Following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we're glad that you could tune in today and join us. Let's see here. I was just trying to get my equipment situated. Sorry about that. If you are interested in learning more about Roth IRAs and Roth 401s and the context of real estate private partnership syndication investing, well, then this is the show for you. If you don't know what that is, we'll talk more about it here again today, but in spite of the fact that it appears we're going to have some stability with regard to tax rates, the tax rates are becoming less and less of the issue, or at least the current ones. What's becoming more of the issue is the fact that we are burning through, as a country, the remaining discretionary portion of the federal budget. And so the tax rates are going to be the yin and yang, I guess, of that equation, where at some point they have to go up, and some point by many economists and those that project these things will be sometime during the 2028, maybe earlier even, time frame, certainly by 2030. And we'll talk more about discretionary versus non-discretionary, or those mandates that are already cemented into our national spending. And just because you hear us talk about things on the air like Roth conversion strategies or real estate private partnership opportunities, please check with your existing advisors before you make any financial decision that you hear on any show or see on a website. There's very few questions that I get asked either regarding tax issues or private partnership issues where the answer is anything other than a resounding maybe. Occasionally I'll get asked something that's a very resounding yes or no, but usually it's maybe. And why is it maybe? Because there's different ways to approach a tax issue or an investment structure. There's different outputs that result, and you need to understand what the potential outputs are relative to your unique facts and circumstances. So if you don't have advisors that understand these topics, particularly the Roth and the private partnership investing, some of the other things we'll talk about in general about real estate taxation, you know, most accountants, or a lot of accountants, are able to decipher the current K-1 variables that have changed a lot over the past several years. And, you know, I tell you, it's amazing the work that the IRS puts us, prepares through now to get the reporting correct. So anyway, but again, I'm talking about topics that are kind of in the niches, and self-directed 401 trust, which is a more technically correct term than solo K. Solo K is the marketing term that you may be familiar with, and it's a special type of retirement plan that sole proprietors or sole proprietors and their spouse are able to access. And it's not just someone that has a company that's their main day job if they're self-employed. It also applies to folks that may have a side gig, meaning that maybe you're consulting, maybe you're, I don't know, you could be mowing yards for your neighbors. I mean, it's income. Is it an activity that's designed to generate self-employment income? And so you can do it right alongside your day job, and it doesn't have to be full-time, and there is no mandated dollar limit that applies. And so in any event, this is an area that we spend a lot of our time working in and advising clients and helping them invest their retirement monies. And it's not just money that you might put in after you start your side gig. You can roll your money from the big company 401k plan over to the self-directed model. So heretofore, if you do that, heretofore, you've only been able to invest in investment classes or types that your plan administrator for the big company 401, usually somebody like Fidelity or Schwab or UBS, would allow. Whereas when it's self-directed, essentially the world is your oyster. I mean, there are some limitations, but bottom line is you direct it. You decide the who, what, when, and where, and you can actually take money out if you need to, because you control the terms and conditions that the self-directed 401 trust is created with. And in the case of our clients, we make it pretty much wide open. We open all the faucets, let's say, in terms of how you can utilize. So, you know, if you want us to consider your circumstances and show you how we might be able to help you or not, fill out the form that you can find on our website at baplanner.com. That's baplanner.com. And step one, form one, is the only one we really must have so we can understand enough about your facts and circumstances to speak intelligently and to comply with our ethics rules. You know, we can't just give tax consulting over the backyard fence. You know, we're prohibited from doing that. But in any event, it won't take you too long to fill that form out. And once you do that, you're welcome to go schedule a call. Same website. Both of these links are at the top right. And we'll be happy to, at no cost to you, I feel like a Medicare commercial, an Advantage Medicare commercial. The insurance companies pay us. That's not the case in our situation, but we will only charge you if we can provide value, and you'll know ahead of time. There'll be no surprises. So anyway, by the way, I said something there that I want to circle back to, because you hear a lot of differences on what you can and can't do. And I know I listened to one of the shows here in Houston. It's no longer on this station, but it is still out there. And it's one of the leading investor / mentor platforms that happens to be based in Houston. And, you know, I've heard hundreds of times the founder of that program say that, you know, your 401k should pay you, not the reverse. And he likes to maintain that all you people that still have your money in a 401k are mentally deficient, I believe, or insane, I think is a word that he uses. And all I can tell you is the only insanity is the concept that he espouses, which is to rip the Band-Aid off, pay the tax on your, you know, 100 $100,000 to $10 million in 401k money. I get people from all over the board. And then you're free of the man is the quote, unquote, that I would add to that. And I can tell you, you will be anything other than free from the man when you do that, because you're never free from the man in the way our tax system operates. And I'll tell you, you'll be filing returns, you'll be reporting gains, in some cases big gains, on those freed funds, I guess, if you want to think of it like that. But boy, what a cost for freedom. And what if I told you you could still invest the same way that that program espouses? You could control your money. You could invest those funds into real estate, especially the real estate private partnership syndications that you can find involving multifamily apartment buildings. You can find them on that platform if you join and pay the $20,000+ membership fee. And by the way, in some cases, it's absolutely worth that. I'm happy to give you my thoughts. Having been a member of that and several others, I'm happy to explain to you why you might need specific programs, because there are some strengths to every program and there's some weaknesses. In this case, the strength is that transactions are mandated to be of the type that non-accredited can invest in, at least up to 35 of them. But the weaknesses are things like ripping the Band-Aid off, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars or maybe millions of retirement money, and that money's gone. And by the way, who's going to put that money back into your account so you can invest? It's gone. 30 to 40% of your family's net worth, in most cases, will never come back to you, at least to replace those funds. Now, you can argue, well, if you invest in these real estate private partnership syndications that you're referring to, Nathan, we're going to make a lot of money. Maybe. And you might make twice as much if you didn't send 30 to 40% of your money to the IRS. In fact, you will make twice, assuming you make anything. It's going to be much larger because you'll have all of your capital working. So whatever rate of return the aforementioned mentor will tell you, you could double it if you had 100% of your money still in your control instead of having given it to the IRS. And that's something I've never heard a straight answer when I ask that, when, you know, the various and assorted platforms are selling you their program, and many of them talk about retrieving your 401k funds by doing a cash out. I've never heard them explain why they wouldn't want to double the amount of money you can make by not having you exit your 401, other than doing a rollover to a self-directed option, such as an IRA or the one we prefer because it's much more rich, the 401 trust or solo K. And never heard an answer come back to that question. And there is no good answer. It's insanity to withdraw your 401 money to invest in real estate, because we can do it without you doing so, and you will control it, and you can, quote, retire, unquote, or better yet, as Marvin Zindler used to sign off every Friday night with his reporting, do whatever makes you happy. I think he would say, go fishing, take your kids to the zoo, do whatever makes you happy. And you can do all of that without unloading 30 to 40% of your net worth to the IRS. The planets have aligned for using this strategy. And then I can go further and I would tell you, hey, if you want to pay some tax dollars, if that makes you feel good for some reason, then let's do the Roth conversion after, very important, you understand that it's after you get your money rolled over to the self-directed model and have that money invested in these private company partnerships. In other words, if, you know, four of us or 400 of us join together, depending on the size of the apartment buildings or portfolio. I know I've got an investment in a portfolio of 10, and I believe that had maybe, somewhere around $300 or $400 million in capital contributed by the passive partner group. It doesn't really matter. It's the fact that it's led by a private company or private partnership that purchases that real estate asset. When you value your funds to convert to Roth, so you've got your 401 money, it's rolled over, it's in either a self-directed IRA or a self-directed 401. You see some projects you're interested in, you vet those with whoever you're having help you assess the math, and that's what we do if you're interested. Once you get that money invested into those partnerships, then we look at Roth conversion, because we get to value the Roth amounts based on fair market being the key word, value. So fair market value, or I may refer to it as the FMV from time to time, that's the relevant number for purposes of calculating the tax that would be due. And thankfully, when you value private companies, whether you're doing it because you're valuing a gift you're giving your heirs, whether you're putting a family entity together and you're conveying assets into the family limited partnership or family LLC, you get to take discounts, big discounts, for the various issues that a private company has facing it versus stock market or mutual funds, a market where you can readily trade. The assets are marketable. You're not told, as you are in the case of these partnerships, you can't just put your money in and then decide 6 months later, I wanted to take that vacation to Tahiti, and you ring the lead partner up and ask for 20 grand of your money back. No, it doesn't work that way. You're waiting for the property to be, in most cases, renovated, rents brought up to market, property released, perhaps, in many cases, so that you affect the net operating income on that asset, which is what creates the value. Understanding how we make money with different types of real estate, for instance, single family rentals versus multifamily, is very important. And we'll talk about that after we circle back from our first break here with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make the
okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Before we get started on this segment, I wanted to bring our cyber expert in to talk about the show we'll have on Sunday, assuming everything goes according to schedule. We've been having some scheduling difficulties with Mr. AI Wynn. Are you there, Wynn?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah. Great. Very good. Loud and clear. Very good. So the plan for Sunday, assuming we don't fall ill or we get called out on a hot...
I tell you, that's unexpected. Can't
believe it. But anyway, well, a lot of stuff going around, so I understand. And, you know, you stay pretty busy. But what are we going to talk about on Sunday's show? And by the way, the show is at 7 a.m., right here on AM 700 KSEV. So for those of you that are interested in learning more about all things artificial intelligence, drones, hacking, phishing, ransomware, we've gone down the list. I can't even remember all the topics that we've covered here in the last, I don't know, what, 2 months, when, or 3 months we've been doing?
2-3 months, give and take. It's in August. Yeah. So anyway, this week I want to talk about RFID and especially and also the QR code. Two things I want to talk about: QR code and RFID. These are the things that, especially in the holiday like this, that the hacker and the bad guy take advantage of it. They can scan your credit card. So that RFID and QR code is, you got to be careful when you, for example, you go to the parking, you go to the show. You click on the parking QR code, it takes you to another place, and they take your money. Okay, but we'll dive into more detail, what not to do, what to do, things like that. Okay, and on top of that, I'm going to talk about the new ChatGPT Pro. Now, this one costs like $200 per month versus $20.
Wow.
But the capability is out of this world.
Give me an example.
They have, like, one of the features that I use is, for example, they say the query is more intelligent, the data is more up-to-date and more accurate. That's number one. But number two is the video creation that it does. Like Sora, remember the Sora?
Uh-huh.
It's included. It's included.
Wow.
And
well, that's how much a month, like, on its own, right?
$200, $200 per month, per user.
Well, and, no, I meant the video creation part. That's a separate, normally.
That's part of it.
I understand that, Wynn. What I'm saying is they're including higher value, because otherwise, without this ChatGPT Pro, you'd have to go subscribe to the other app, correct?
Yes and no. All right.
Oh, okay. Probably. So there's a premium type model?
Yeah. This is the premium that they have. But here is the problem. imagine the bad guy also use it too. So what I tested out, I tested out I can build the whole website in 5 minutes. So anyway, we'll dive into it more this Sunday. So this Sunday we talk about a few topics, and I think this is going to be interesting for the user.
Yeah. And by the way, is the ChatGPT Pro already out?
Yes, already out. I registered already. I have my own account already.
Yeah. Okay, good, good. Well, I may take a look at that myself. I've got ChatGPT, but it's embedded in, you know, the little transcription tool we use, the Plod device.
No, this one's different.
Yeah.
It's completely different, more up-to-date. Most of the ChatGPT that we use today is only up to 2022, the data. But this one is exceed that. So we'll talk more. I'm still testing it. I'll let you know this week what we talk.
Well, sounds good. Let's sync back up, obviously, on Sunday morning. And I'm looking forward to this the show upcoming. Well, thanks for calling in. Is it cold over there today in Houston? I'm still here in San Antonio.
Yeah, it's too cold. Too cold.
Well, we're cold and damp over here. So anyway. Well, listen, I'll let you run. And talk
all
to
right.
you on Sunday.
Appreciate
okay.
It.
Thanks all for calling
thank
in.
You.
Okay, goodbye. You bet. You bet. Okay, so before we took the break, we were talking about private company discounts on converting from pre-tax IRA money and pre-tax 401k money, particularly if you're executing the self-directed model that we talk about. I mean, you can do a Roth conversion on your 401k funds in most employer plans. It's not all, so you'd have to check with your employer or your employer plans administrator would be more likely. And, you know, I can only tell you that if you don't do it, I have many clients that have not yet seriously considered undertaking the Roth. We've done it on some, and I can tell you that as you take money out over the rest of your life, whenever that starts, you know, each of us will have different triggers, and when that happens, you will be paying more money in tax, probably much more. I don't think there's any way you can look at the current deficit, which we did, by the way, this past Sunday. Again, Mr. Win-Win, or Mr. AI Win, was not able to join me. And so I talked about, you know, the sad state of affairs with respect to our annual budget and the cumulative debt that we're facing. And, you know, when you look at that, I think the numbers are so big, most people, they don't really, it's funny how the worse it gets, the less people are able to comprehend the level of distress that, you know, we have with our budget. And folks, it's sad. I know we're getting a lot more talk these days. You've got, you know, DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, I believe, in place now, or it's soon to be. And the hope is to cut $2 trillion a year off our expenditures, which, by the way, that's roughly the amount of a deficit we have each year. According to the CBO report that came out early this year, they release a 10-year forecast right at, I guess it's sometime here this month or early January. But anyway, the one that will be forthcoming, I haven't seen the release yet for the 2025 and 10-year forward look, but there's an anticipated average of $2.1 trillion going forward for the next 10 years. So all the way out, that's under the current release, that's all the way out to 2034. And for those of you that haven't been keeping up, as of this past budgetary cycle. It was fiscal year ended September of 2024, so several months ago, we crossed the $1 trillion mark for the first time in interest expense on the debt. Think about that. Just the interest is $1 trillion. And if you think about it, had we not rung up the debt, let's say we had a balanced budget each year, like most you and I have to live, we'd have an extra $1 trillion this year. Either, I guess, would be if we were over borrowed again, we'd have less interest by $1 trillion, or if we had no debt, obviously that's $1 trillion more in available spend that would help us maybe afford more foreign aid and more Medicare and Social Security, et cetera. I mean, we've got real problems, folks, with all the above. And, you know, Medicare and Medicaid combined is the number one budgetary component. Social Security's second. The interest expense has leapfrogged defense spending, if you can believe that. When it went over the trillion mark, defense is 900 and I think it's 80 or 90 billion. And so it's just shy of the trillion mark. We'll probably get there with what's going on right now, unless Mr. Trump pulls some rabbits out of his hat, which he very well may do. I am sure we'll pass over the $1 trillion mark. And, you know, the neocons that are running at the moment, anyway, running our military complex have never met a weapon that they don't like. And so we're spending incredible amounts of money on everything defense related, which I'm not for making us any softer than we've already gotten under the current regime. But I think just like Elon Musk has done with his own companies, there's a way to spend smarter, not harder or not greater. And, you know, with technology, you know, there should be significant savings, especially in the weapons arena. When you look at the sophistication of the drones now, it should be a lot less cost of human life. You know, our young people going into battle should go down, you would think, if we're able to send machines in to do the work instead of bodies. And so, you know, again, but somehow we got to be able to pay for it. And guess what a huge security risk we have right now is? It's our financial situation. And thankfully, the rest of the world is in as bad, almost as bad, in some cases worse condition as we are. And thankfully, the world walks in many cases in lockstep with the U.S. economy. If our economy is doing great, the rest of the world is doing great. Why do you think the leaders of these foreign countries have already come to discuss with Trump their current situation, the U.S. and Canada, the U.S. and Mexico, et cetera? They want, and Europe is talking fondly of Mr. Trump again. They understand the importance of relationships with the U.S. and our, what, $5 trillion market, I believe. It's some huge amount of money that they, you know, have the ability to participate in if they're on our good side in terms of imports and tariffs and things of that nature. But one way or the other, we've got to address the looming tax train that's barreling down the tracks that will hit people in my generation, and likely you, if you're listening to a show about retirement, in part. We're going to get slammed with higher taxes. There's just no way around it unless you convert to Roth. And then you may be able to avoid it, or you'll avoid it to some extent. There's some things you can't convert. Obviously, if it's not retirement related, that's off the grid for you. But there's other things we can do. We can invest in real estate, as an example, where we can get cash flow without it being taxable income. And so when we come back from a break, we're going to go ahead and take our second break. We're going to talk more about, you know, how do we structure to get the benefits of cash flow without getting hit with tax, or at least deferring the tax. I shouldn't say, well, tax-free in the case of Roth, but in terms of investing in real estate generally, deferring tax. And we'll, at the same time, we will talk about how we make money with single family versus multifamily. So let's take our break, and we'll circle back here momentarily and get into the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to leave.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing. Big dreams and fake dreams, and there are many just like me
with big dreams and fake dreams.
Okay, welcome back with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we've been talking about sad state of the U.S. budget, the cumulative debt, along with Roth conversions. Because if you want to find the best strategy, I think, or one of the best, there's others, but I like real estate private partnerships, and then to complete the trifecta, I like being able to convert to Roth with pre-tax 401k money, and that's something we've done now for quite a while. The planets aligned here. Oh, it's been 7 or 8, 9 years ago when the 401 rules, the solo K, if you're familiar with that marketing term, changed unilaterally, by the way. The IRS unilaterally starting allowing in-service distributions where you could tap funds while you're still working. And of course, you got to pay the tax. And if you're under 59 and a half, or you don't have qualifying distributions for whatever reason, you would pay the penalty. But you know, versus not being able to access them, that's, you know, that's not bad. That's the cost of doing business, let's say, if you were analyzing a particular strategy and maybe you had something that you could not invest in directly with your retirement funds and it was such a stupendous opportunity, you wanted to go ahead and liquidate some of those funds. But in any event, what I wanted to talk about over this final segment is how do we make money? What's the difference between the single family model of generating cash flow and, most importantly, exiting the asset versus multifamily generation of cash flow? And again, most importantly, exiting that asset. You know, what's the purpose? If you don't know the exit before you invest, you better slow down and take another look. And, you know, some projects are set up to provide annual cash flow. Others might be sporadic. You know, you may renovate, get the NOI up on a property, specifically multifamily, and then refinance it. Maybe you don't plan to sell it until the eighth year or sixth year, but you want to refinance it after you've improved the NOI to the point where maybe you can pull out, I don't know, 50 to 80% of your initial investment. And that happens often, not in the current market perhaps, although it still does, but it's not quite as common with the debt issues that the multifamily market especially has been faced with. Nothing like office, you know, the office markets where you read of the real calamity. Multifamily has distressed assets, there's no question, but at least with multifamily, typically you've still got a cash flow stream. It's just you've had massive interest rate increases over the last couple of years. You've also had insurance costs go through the ceiling. You also have had property taxes go up. And then if that wasn't enough, you've got a lot more competition with all the new apartment units that have been delivered to most of the national markets. Specifically, though, the Sun Belt, including the Southwest, has had, you know, 15 to 20,000 plus units a year dropped in to a hot market that cooled off rapidly to the point where, you know, if you were already underway on building or renovating a property, I mean, you can't just stop. And so the result was, I know here in San Antonio, we had, I believe it was 18,000 new units come into the market over the last year. We don't have near as many teed up for the current year, but there's still some units that are being, you know, getting ready to be delivered to the market. So, you know, the issue becomes absorption. How fast, and by the way, Houston was every bit of those numbers and then some. But the issue becomes, how can we absorb? How can the market get back to equilibrium or like it was 2 years and prior, where the landlord or the owner was in the driver's seat, was, you know, had an advantage over the prospective tenant? Now it's the reverse. And I know I was looking at a transaction here recently that was, I believe it was in Houston. If it wasn't, it was here in San Antonio or perhaps Austin. I know Austin's got a lot of what I'm getting ready to describe, but they were doing 8 weeks free on a 15-month lease. So what is that? That's a little over 10% or maybe right at a 10% concession. That's not uncommon with the newer Class A properties, because that's when you deliver new units to the market, that's typically the class that's being delivered. And so, you know, you think about that, that's in most cases on Class A assets, that's about a $5,000 hit to revenues, at least over what you might have done in the good old days. But in any event, So again, how do we make money with single family versus multifamily? Single family often involves a longer hold period. And I'm not talking about buying a single family that's bombed out, fixing it and flipping it. You can make money that way, perhaps, but it's very transactional, obviously. And it more translates to a job than being an investment, and particularly an investment that you don't have to go operate. If you own single family rentals, I'm just curious, you know, how did you find them? Were you a member of an investor platform, or did you, and even if you were, did you learn more than just how to go source rental properties that might be available, or was the platform sending you leads on properties that they saw? What was the effort level? Because there was effort, and that's all I'm trying to make the point of. And then when you found something that worked, you know, the numbers penciled out, as it were, and so you decide to move forward, who put the money up to pay for that property? And in most single family cases, it's going to be you and a lender. And in the case of a lender, when you sign on the dotted line to accept the loan, which might be for, I don't know, anywhere from 60 to maybe as high as 80%, although that's gotten more unusual. But if you were buying it with your self-directed IRA or maybe your self-directed 401, you might get a 50 to 60% loan to value. So you're going to have to use some of the account's money to come up with the balance. But the point is, you're signing personally. Now, in the case of the IRA or the 401, you're not providing a personal guarantee. That's prohibited. But there are lenders that will loan at lower LTVs, a little bit higher interest rate, but it can be done. But let's talk about the non-IRA or non-401 transaction. You're signing a personal guarantee that you're going to make sure that loan gets paid. It's not just they can come take the property back. No, they can take the property back and they can come after your other assets that would be available under a, let's just say, worst case scenario, meaning bankruptcy. You know, if you've got equity in your residence, most of that equity, at least in the state of Texas, will probably be exempt unless you're talking about relatively new, large amounts of equity that you won't be able to keep all of. But in any event, contrast that with multifamily. Oh, and by the way, you still got to find a rehab option. You got to bring that property up to market. You've got to then find tenants. All that's your problem, unless you hire a management company, in which case your cash flow will go down, theoretically, unless they can rent it for more than you can, which I don't necessarily stipulate that will happen. But how do we work in the multifamily arena? Well, in the multifamily arena, we have multiple investor platforms, either with a mentor group, like I've mentioned, that you have in most major cities or across the country. Or you can, in this day and time, it's kind of like travel agents. Who buys from a travel agent anymore? Unless you're with a big company and they provide a point of contact maybe for company employees to go book tickets. But most of us, if we know what we're doing, we're using Google Flights and we, you know, go book direct. Not with Google. We go through Google right to the airline. Google Flights is an amazing service. It's as valuable as Google Maps for those of us that travel, and it's free. And so effectively, though, we do it without having to join any group. We can go out to CrowdStreet.com or RealtyMogul.com or Fundrise.com, and there you'll see options for investing your money passively, where you've got somebody else that's getting out of bed every morning to go run the hurdles on getting that property, you know, rehabbed, up to market, and occupied. And but you get into some details over, are you qualified to invest on those types of platforms? And that's why I had mentioned earlier, you may want a local platform that has what we refer to as 506B. It's the section of the Crowdfunding Act that non-accredited but sophisticated, meaning you've had some training or you're working with a CPA firm like mine where we're focused on real estate. If you're engaged with us, then you are sophisticated, whether you know it or not. And you're able to invest in 506B type transactions, and we'll help you discover some of those sources. But in any event, so we look for membership in these various partnerships. And then as a passive investor, you're providing capital. You don't have to find the property. You don't have to hire the rehab crew. You don't have to hire leasing staff, management staff, etc. And you don't have to go find the funding, the loan. That's huge. And you will never, or you should never, enter a transaction where you have to personally guarantee that loan like you do with every single family property you buy, unless you're buying it through your retirement account on that property. Big, big difference. Okay, so lastly, we've got just a couple minutes left. Let's talk about the exit, because as I mentioned, I emphasize the exit is important on either single family or multifamily. Single family, your exit is capped at whatever your neighbors are selling their homes for over the past 6 months, year, 6 days, etc. I don't care how well you've run your property, how nice it looks, you're capped at the price, roughly price per foot, that those other properties have sold for. In the multifamily market, that doesn't matter. I mean, it's a comparative maybe, but it's not what generates the sales value. What generates the sales value is your net operating income. Did we buy it and the net operating income was $500,000 and now we've raised it to $8 million? Then the cash flow that results is what is used by an investor to buy or a lender to refinance, and injecting a cap rate at which they think the cash flow will continue into the foreseeable future. Big, big difference. And we're right at the end of the show, but we will constantly talk about this concept because it's critical for those of you that might be considering real estate as a viable hard asset. Hard assets are what we want with inflation. In any event, well, thank you for listening today. Again, we'll be back Sunday with the Be A Planner Cyber version show. And we hope you can tune in 7 a.m. right here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. And join us again next week for another edition of Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.